Hello, welcome to the Gambling Files podcast. I'm your host, one of them, John Bruford, joined by your other host, Fintan Costello. Fintan, hello.
Hello, John.
How's it going?
Good. Yeah, everything's fine. Pretty normal.
You sound a bit like Baby Al there. Not like, you know, you don't sound like a baby, but like if you say to Al, like, you know, say he's in the back of the car, you'd be like, you okay in the back, Al? You just go, yeah. Or how's it going, Al? You just go, good. It makes me laugh every time. But Al had a bit of a, do you know what? We recently recorded the intro to episode 100, and I should have pointed out that there's a possibility that Baby Al features in the entire episode.
Okay.
Well, he was off school sick. So, and Fern was out with Annie at hospital appointments. So I had to go get Al and bring him back to mine.
Mm.
And a poor little tinker. He had a bad experience at school. And his teachers didn't spot that he'd had this bad experience.
Oh, no.
And he was getting out of the car, and I saw that the back of his trousers was a little brown and the back of his shirt. And I'm like, Al, what's that on your back? He's like, is it brown? I went, yeah. Oh, one of my friends pushed me into some, and these were his exact words, pushed me into some wet mud.
Oh, poor little guy.
And I sniffed it, and I said, I think they might have thrown some shit on you after as well. But the poor little tinker. But what really worried me about it was that he thought he was going to get told off for having an accident like that, and he must have been super poorly for it to happen.
Yeah, of course. It's tough at that age. They're figuring a lot of stuff out.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a worry when your kid thinks they're going to get told off for something really super innocuous and 1,000,000% not his fault. But when I find those kids that pushed him in the mud, I'm going to beat the fuck out of them.
Poor little guy. Well done for dadding it and taking care of him. Good job.
Well, you know, I've got a washing machine. And he fits in it.
Straight in.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll put it on a cool wash. It'll be fine. 2.5 hours.
Gentle spin.
So Baby Al, good, yeah, had a bit of an accident, little fella. I don't know how we got onto that. Oh yeah, you're well. So reiterating something from last week's episodes, I am slightly more available for work should anybody need whatever it is that I do.
Selling yourself there, John. Really kind of.
Well, the problem is, Fintan, that I have such a broad set of skills that it's difficult to know where to start.
So, content, communications, PR, strategy, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah. You know, stuff, yeah, things. And if you want your company to be bought, then, you know, then I might have a sprinkle of magic dust. I don't know. It's not for me to decide. It's for the venture capitalists of the world.
It's for the market to decide.
The venture capitalists who are clearly following my every move.
It's a bit like those guys who like copy Nancy Pelosi. Like I was just looking at something the other day. There's this website that tracks all of the Congress people's trading activities. And I was looking at one guy, and he's like on the, he's on the Treasury board. He's on something, and his trading this year has just been phenomenal. Like, he's outperformed everything. Like, he was buying Nvidia shares back in January, and then they've obviously skyrocketed. And it was like just loads of these kind of feels very insider-ish, allegedly. Just to throw that disclaimer, and. I think we should set up like a John tracker of like who's John working with next and what's going to happen next.
It's true. Because, I mean, obviously I'm doing the gaming boardroom.
Yeah, well, that's doing great stuff. That's just inevitable. It just takes time.
Well, Kate's been putting out some really great content. She's been putting a lot of it, I think most of it, on LinkedIn. And that's been really interesting because Kate's sort of consciously, I don't know how to put this really, showing a vulnerability that you wouldn't ordinarily see at that level. Saying, you know, she just put an article up about I can't remember what the term is, but like insidious underlying workplace bullying. So not overt, but the little needles, the little, you know what I mean? But putting it out there, sharing some of her experiences and just starting the conversation. And I think that's really interesting because nobody else is really doing that shit. And it's really interesting to see somebody who's achieved what Kate has, who's willing to go out there and say, you know what, some things are shit. Let's talk about them. Because it's fair to say that things are less scary when you drag them into the light.
Particularly this industry, because this industry is quite, you know, confrontational and there's quite a lot of pretense and fakeness and there's a lot of people, you know, pretending success that they don't have and a lot of bullshit.
That reminds me, we just had our millionth subscriber to the podcast.
Fuck you, Joe Rogan.
Yeah, you big successful twat.
Your Texas compound. And, the but stuff like that, right? There is a lot of that in this industry, like a lot of that. And I think there's definitely a demand for not that. I can't think of about, this is why you're the word guy and I'm not. I can't think of a better way to say it, but yeah, it's good. I think there's some really great stuff happening in the gaming boardroom. The content's been great and the webinars and stuff. And
we're just starting the sort of full on content plan right now. So it's going to start.
There's quite a lot of other companies taking a lot of inspiration from what the boardroom's doing as well. So you can really see some content strategy shifts happening as other media organizations in the industry. So
is that?
You're raising the bar, which is always flattering.
What?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Are you going to have to tell me when we stop recording?
Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
It's good. No, it's good. But this means, like, so look, right? It's always the better position to be in if, like, because what I, like, my day job type stuff as well, like, everybody copies everybody ultimately. And some of the team freak out about it sometimes. Oh my God, they've just done this and just done that. It's like, it actually doesn't matter because look at what we've got planned for the next 6 months. So it's always about nailing your own roadmap. And as long as everyone's 6 months behind you, they're copying what you did 6 months ago. Fine.
That's it. They're reacting. The stuff. They're reacting.
Yeah, exactly. So they're it's always and that's how this industry, so much of this industry is just copying stuff that works. And so it's just a case of fine. That's the best you can do, and then just kind of cracking on, really.
You can have those morsels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's
we've already done something else.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just keep pushing forward and building your own momentum, and it'll take care of itself.
Yeah, we'll do that. But, you know, in the interest of paying my bills, I do have a little bit of free time if anybody's interested.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Joe, I got an amazing email this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, I've been doing a bit of work for Asia Gaming Brief, and I was emailing some people who, admittedly, I didn't know, but I was trying to get some info about the G2E Asia Singapore event, and I sent this one guy an email saying, "Look, have you guys done any kind of release or put anything out?" And then I had another idea, and I followed it up with another idea, which would have been far easier for them to do. And I got an email back and it just said, please remove me from your mailing list.
Oh, no.
And I thought, that's really odd. Because it's not a generic emailer. It's personalized to you, asking shit about your company so that I can publicize you for free in some editorial. It's bizarre.
Snooze, you lose.
People are strange. But back in the day when something like that would happen, when, say, for example, I've been working on a publication, I would have then just gone to all of their rivals and just gone, right, what do you want to do? Let's do it. We've got pages for you. But anyway, by the by. So this would be episode 101. And appropriately enough, I believe it is a 101 in the ins and outs of Finland's gambling industry.
Oh, smooth. 100 episodes, and he's finally found a link.
Yeah. Woo. Wait till 202. I've got big plans for that one.
Yes, so we have Antti Kuvila. I think I got that surname right. I don't think so. Anyway, we got Antti, legal advisor at Legal Gaming. They are a Finnish law firm, offices in Finland and Malta. And Antti is an advisor there, and he's an expert in all things Finland. And we had Antti, so he's a returning guest. We love a returning guest with updates. There's been a lot going on in Finland. So when we had Antti on, I think it was back in January or February, it was kind of really starting the Finns were starting to look at deregulating or opening up the market from the state monopoly and doing stuff like that. And it kind of felt like it could be a slow moving beast and it'll take 3-4 years, however long it's going to be. However, things have stepped up a bit. There's been a bunch of enforcement in different areas in completely different ways. So everything from big giants like Betsson to, you know, Twitch streamers to people sending dodgy SMS messages and some other bits and pieces. And then there's been a lot happening on the licensing side as well. And there's been a study released, and it clearly gives there's a clear travel of direction. And yeah, so there's a lot going on there. And for Finland, for those that aren't particularly in the casino space, like, Finland as a casino market is surprisingly huge. They love a slot machine. They love some gambling in Finland. So Finland and Norway, particularly for a lot of the European operators, the Malta guys, the Curacao guys, is two huge lucrative markets. So stuff happening in both of those markets actually have a huge impact on European casino. So super interesting stuff. He's an expert. He gets into a lot of details on his stuff, which is what we love. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, we do. One quick question. Is this episode of the podcast sponsored?
It is. So
who by, do you know?
Our long-running sponsor, Gaming Recruitment Solutions, grs-recruit.com.
They sound good.
They do. So go back to episode 99 if you want to get to know Paul, where he's talking about the odds changing, the odds tightening and table limits and stuff changing in Vegas and things moving a bit more upscale. GRS, they do executive recruitment for casinos. They do staffing recruitment for casinos. They've just opened their Malta office, and they're doing, I can't remember the lady's name, but they've got a great lady in Malta who's leading the charge on the online recruitment. They've been doing it for years. They've worked in the casino industry, so they really understand what you're looking for and the right profiles and these kind of things. And they're a great bunch of lads. So we'd obviously highly recommend them.
Highly. Super. Well, You might as well get on to you and Auntie, because I didn't partake in that episode.
John had an emergency, which I talk about on the episode, so that's fine.
Ah, shit. I'm going to have to listen to this, aren't I? Damn it. No, I mean, I listen to every episode.
Gold. They're all gold. Twice. Just to bump those numbers.
But just in case, I had to go and meet a repair dude at Fern's house who was repairing Annie's chair that she sits in. It's not
quite exactly how I explained it.
It's got these foot plates that you can strap her feet in and gives her a bit more stability and stuff. And one of them just kept dropping.
Oh, no.
But the same was happening on her chair at Fern's, but on the other leg. So at Fern's, it was the left foot plate, and at mine it was the right foot plate. And the bloke, who was, let's say, a bit knobby in the first meeting, said, "Oh yeah, it must be how you're doing it." I'm like, "So just to clarify, we do this completely independently of each other, and you're saying that we're both doing it in the wrong way, and it's only affecting one of these plates, but it's affecting them in exactly the same way. And there's no possibility it could be a defective part." He's like, yeah, basically, it's you're just doing it wrong. It's not clicking in. I'm like, it definitely is clicking in. Neither of us are stupid. I said, have a go. Try it. And he's like, oh, looks like there might be something wrong with the part. I'm like, you don't say. What are the odds?
He got there in the end.
Fuck me. Yeah, it's annoying. Not quite up there with the day I gave the vet lecture, but it's close. Good times. I'm a great dissatisfied customer. But anyway, Fintan.
On to the podcast and on to Auntie talking about Finland. Welcome to the latest episode of The Gambling Files. And I know it's Fintan doing the intro. I'm not normally allowed to drive. But John's having really serious problems with his hair transplant. It's just not kicking in, so he had to go off for emergency treatment. So it is just me and our lovely guest, our return guest. And I'm going to take a run up at this surname. Bear with me. Antti Koivula of Legal Gaming, legal advisor, Finnish iGaming legal expert, legal. He's got his fingers on the absolute pulse of everything going on in Finland when it comes to gambling regulations, and there is a lot going on. Welcome, Antti. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me, Fintan. And as you mentioned, there's been lots of going on since I last visited yours. So I believe it was in January, was it?
Yeah, it's been a while, but it's been a while, and it feels like it kind of felt like when we spoke the last time, it was, look, this is going to take years. It'll be, you know, 3-4-5 year process for everything to play out. But there really feels to be a lot more momentum and a lot more going on and some very active things. So one of the things we spotted was there's enforcement. So there seems to be a lot more enforcement than maybe historically. What's going on there?
Yeah, basically, there's been developments on two fronts. As you mentioned, there's an ongoing shift to our licensing regime. And on a different topic, there's been several enforcement-related cases in Finland. And we can start from either one. Which one would you prefer?
Let's go with enforcement. I think that one's always an interesting one to kick off with.
Okay. Well, if we start at the... I mean, maybe my favorite enforcement-related thing, it's not Betsson or the streamer who got a jail sentence. We'll come back to those at later stages. But in January, the enforcement authority, the National Police Board, they launched this rather, how would I say it, rather interesting campaign against... foreign gambling advertisement, especially influencers and streamers. They basically published several videos in which they aim to educate Finns about the dangers of gambling advertisements. And there's this one particular video which is by far my favorite. In that video, there's this hypothetical streamer who's, let's say, really energetic, like he would be, you know, under some substances. And he's basically telling Finns to sell their kidneys in order to fund gambling. So, yeah, that's a really humorous video. And I understand that, these videos have been, they are sarcastic in nature and they are supposed to be humoristic, but it's still more or less, you know, an attack against streamers who advertise gambling. And I don't think it's, I mean, I found the video really amusing, but it's debatable whether it was fully appropriate and so forth. But if you want more details about that video, it's been covered in the industry news. For example, Sonja Lindenberg from iGaming Next wrote a great piece about it, and I've covered it on my LinkedIn profile as well.
Yeah, so send me the link and we'll put it in the notes. Because I suppose it's like one of those things where, you know, your parents are trying to warn you about the dangers of alcohol or whatever it is, and it kind of just backfires of like, what, I can go drink? That sounds brilliant. It's though it does feel kind of counterproductive.
Yeah, the campaign was really over the top, though. I suppose that was more or less the meaning, you know, the purpose of it. It was aimed to be over the top, but still, it was the first time ever that the NBB ran a campaign like this, and but it was really amusing. It's something everyone should you know, check out just for their own amusement, if nothing else.
Absolutely.
Maybe moving on regarding the more serious enforcement cases. Obviously, the Betsson's case has been in everyone's lips in the past few weeks. And just to run through it briefly, Betsson got the questionable honor of becoming the first MGA licensed operator against whom the National Police Board imposed a prohibition order and conditional fine. The conditional fine was a record high. It was 2.4 million. The previous record fine was 800,000, if I'm not mistaken. So it was triple the last record amount. Now Betsson appealed to the Helsinki Administrative Court, and the case is still pending there. But the Helsinki Administrative Court, they gave an interim decision, basically postponing all the sanctions for the duration of the appeal. So it was definitely partial win for the Betsson. But, you know, as mentioned, the case is hardly over. The court will examine the facts and the case and give its verdict at later stages, and we'll see what the outcome.
So what was the what did Betsson do wrong, or allegedly do wrong?
Illegal gambling advertisements. So basically,
okay, so advertising. Okay.
Yeah, basically they were targeting, or you know, according to the NBB, they were targeting Finns by various means, and their usual story really.
So they were advertising in Finnish, they were advertising on .fi websites, they were buying billboards or like sending email, like what was the, do we know what the marketing was or?
Yeah, they were doing all kinds of stuff, basically directed to Finland. I mean, it wasn't only through one channel or one advertisement, okay. There were all kinds of.
Surely they're not the only ones.
Yeah, definitely.
Would be the thing here, right?
Yeah, you know, it's easy enough to go to Google and type something like, I don't know, Finnish casino, Suomalainen casino, something like that. And there's plenty of affiliate sites, plenty of, you know, different operators. And yeah, it's not that rare. But obviously the NBB has to start from somewhere. Yeah, now it was Betsson's turn, so to say.
Obviously, yeah, Because just so I understand, so the way the rules currently work in Finland, Betsson will be allowed to accept a Finnish customer, and a Finnish customer would be allowed play on the Betsson website, but Betsson's not allowed advertise. They're not allowed to advertise.
Exactly, is the rule. So in Finland, we still have a gambling monopoly in place, and Veikkaus, the state-owned gambling monopoly operator, they have the exclusive rights to run gambling services in Finland and advertise them. So basically, you know, anyone advertising gambling services apart from Veikkaus, if those advertisements have been directed to Finland, if online or by other means, you know, those actions are in breach of the Finnish Lotteries Act. So basically, any advertisement directed to Finland is in breach of the Finnish law.
So this Betsson case is super interesting then, particularly with the appeal and everything's happening there, because if the police win this case, then it's hunting season for lots of MGA licensed operators who are probably advertising to some degree in Finland.
Yeah, you can definitely put it that way. Though, that's definitely true. But at the same time, you have to consider the ongoing shift to the licensing system. So it's the law will change anyway. It remains to be seen how big of an effect this case will have, you know, to other
Betsson. But there was, when we last spoke, there was quite a big timeline. Maybe that's something we talk about. Though the timeline when we spoke before, like it was like 5 years away or something before.
Yeah, no, not exactly 5 years. I think I must have last time mentioned that, you know, I'm expecting the licensing system to be in place from the beginning of 2025. I might have talked about 2026, but now there has been developments, and I see 2026 as the most realistic year when the licensing system will be in ready. So it's still roughly 2.5 years away.
Yeah,
but not 5 years anyway. So that's
okay. That's good. Okay, I probably misremembered. So in one way, it's not that far away. In another way, 2.5 years in the online gambling industry, it's a bit like dog years, right? Anything could happen. Like that's a huge period of time.
I totally get it. Now, if you look at the Betsson's case, they are not only fighting against the prohibition order and conditional fine and the PSP blocking that comes within. You know, if and when the licensing system enters into force from the beginning of 2026, it's not really a healthy starting point for an operator to have a prohibition or a recent prohibition order imposed against them, not to mention, possibly a court verdict confirming the illegal gambling advertisements. There's still cooling off period or other... bad actor clause still very much in the talks regarding the upcoming system. Nothing has been decided yet, but it's definitely a possibility. And if and when that shall happen, you know, it's Betsson might be fighting on behalf of their possibility to obtain a license when the licensing system enters into force as well. So the stakes are, you know, a bit higher for them, because Finland is obviously a, you know, big market for them.
But it's not the first time. So I think they had a lot of problems with the Dutch regulator as well for the similar reasons.
They've been in court in Finland previously as well from different reasons, but I guess that's the, you know, strategy they've chosen. They've been rather aggressive with the gray markets.
Cost of doing business.
It's one way of doing business.
I guess it is.
But it's anyway. It's been an interesting case to track, and
And then I was reading your fantastic LinkedIn post about some streamer who just like double parked his Porsche outside the courthouse and fuck the world and all this kind of stuff. Tell us about this guy. He sounds fascinating.
Yeah, that happened soon after the Betsson case became public. The streamer, he had been advertising several foreign online casinos for an extended period of time, and now the case went to the court. According to the Criminal Code of Finland, if one advertises, if one goes through advertising foreign gambling operators against the Lotteries Act, they may be deemed guilty of a gambling offense, which is punishable up to 2 years of imprisonment. Now, when it comes to the facts of the case, it was really, judicially, when it comes to law, it was really a clear-cut case. There was nothing, that exceptional in the case, though, there hasn't been too many gambling-related criminal cases recently. So the streamer, whose nickname is Lateksi Tuppi, which I guess is really hard for foreigners to...
yeah, it is.
but anyway, and it's rather, the meaning of the word is rather humorous as well. But anyway, he was found guilty of being advertising foreign gambling operators via his affiliate website and on his social media channels. He had some 60,000+ followers on Instagram and a lot on Twitter and YouTube as well. So he sure was a prominent influence in that regard. The court found him guilty of the gambling offense. No surprise there. He was sentenced to 50 days of extended prison sentence, which means that he doesn't go to the jail unless he commits other crimes by the end of 2024. His assets were forfeited for the amount of 51,000 euros. That was deemed to be the amount of criminal proceeds he earned through illegal gambling advertisements. So that's the sanction he received. Now, when you mentioned that His reaction, and that was, I guess, the most entertaining part of this case, was he actually arrived to the court by his, let's just call it luxurious car, and he parked in the parking spot in front of the court entrance that's been reserved for the police officers only. And he also gave some rather, obviously he's... rather talented, I don't know, rapper or, rather good with lyrics anyway, but he published some rap lyrics regarding, this online. And needless to say, the lyrics are rather, how would I say, entertaining in a way, but also rather, let's just say that he doesn't obviously have problem to go against authorities. Let's put it this way.
Yeah. It was quite aggressive. So basically, what it sounds like is he's already made the money back in publicity and increased followers, and so it doesn't really seem like a punishment. It just seems like amazing free publicity for him at this point.
Could be. I guess he could use. At least personally, I would always, find a use for 51k in euros. But
oh, for sure. Look, it's a lot of money, but if he can afford a luxurious car, it's not all his proceeds. So would he like? Okay, so just to understand how these things work, because he's living in Finland, and he's promoting offshore gambling brands. But let's say he decided to pack up and move to Andorra or somewhere and start streaming in Finnish from Andorra, he wouldn't be breaking any rules, right?
Obviously, there's, when it comes to enforcement, that's a bit more complicated complicated issue. But when it comes to that streamer particularly, I'm not actually, I think he was even living in Estonia, so not full time in Finland. So at least his car was Estonian.
That's why it was a luxurious car. They're much cheaper over there.
No, but lower car tax. When it comes to enforcement, obviously there's, you know, certain issues and so forth. But with criminal cases, the enforceability in general is rather good.
Okay.
Or, you know,
so because he's got a Finnish passport, they can call him back or do something like that, I suppose.
Yeah, and the gambling offense is also applicable against, you know, foreigners as well if they direct gambling advertisements to Finland or do other similar crimes. But there in fact there hasn't the enforcement with foreign nationals, it's always a bit different and a bit more complicated issue than with Finns. And obviously the streamer, the Lateksi Tuppi. His name is Lauri Kangas, and he's a Finnish by origin, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, so it gets a bit more complicated. But it's the attitude. But yeah, it's just loads of free content and free publicity for him as well. So maybe is he still streaming or has he stopped?
I must admit that, you know, I'm not the biggest follower of gambling related streams, but as far as I've understood, like at least he stopped gambling related streams for now. But he's still posting stuff at least on Instagram, and I don't know if he's running other streams, you know, related to other topics than gambling. But yeah.
Okay, could see his social profile is going to private soon.
As mentioned, it was only a suspended sentence. But if he commits other crimes, let's say if he continues streaming as he used to do, there's rather high possibility that another criminal case will be opened against him, and he will get even harder sentence, and the previous sentence will be actually enforced, and he has to go to the jail for that as well.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah. There's been some other maybe, you know, less not as highly interesting enforcement stuff, but in the Finnish newspapers. Finland co-hosted the Ice Hockey World Championships in May, along with Latvia, and obviously someone made a criminal complaint about the Latvian team's ice hockey jerseys. There was a gambling advertisement in their jerseys, and that's something the police is currently investigating about. You know, it concerned Latvian team, and Latvia was co-hosting the co-championships. But regardless, that was one of the enforcement cases that was.
Was the Latvian team in Finland when they were filming, or
they were for the final two games? They actually reached the medal games, the bronze medal game, and it was the first time ever they did so. They, you know, according to at least the betting odds and the professional sports bettor who I know, you know, Latvia wasn't expected to reach that far in the competition. So it was really
interesting.
They really did great, and it was the greatest achievement in ice hockey championships this far they've had at least in the modern times. But
so when you think about that, then, like, I know I watch a lot of Formula One, and you can see the gambling ads change depending on the country that they're in. So it's like PokerStars or PokerStars.net or Party Casino, PartyCasino.net, and sometimes they just remove the branding completely depending on the country. So you could kind of see why they shouldn't have had the sponsor on their jersey.
Yeah, I guess
when in Finland, for example.
Yeah, I really don't want to go into the details in regard of that case, but it's I mean how would I put it? It's there are maybe more important things for the police to investigate
than there is, even
when it comes to gambling. I mean, this is just some. Well, someone felt the urge to make a criminal complaint, and that's it. You know, everyone has the right, and so forth. There's no question in that regard. But is this a good usage of the police resources and so forth? Even if you could just consider the gambling related cases, we just talked about the influencer case, and it was by far more important. By any definition.
But the influencer stuff, even that, like if you're saying this guy's made 50 grand from streaming, like in the world of streamers, like that's nothing.
Yeah.
Like it's obviously there's a load of streamers who make nothing, and then there's a load of guys who make an absolute fortune. And 50 grand is like the very much the lower end of the scale from what I understand. So it wasn't even it wasn't like a headline number and we're going to make an example of this guy and we're going to do whatever. It just kind of feels like a strange.
Yeah, I have no argument with you there. I mean, I've reviewed the case and it's rather the 50K or 51,000. It wasn't the full amount of his criminal proceeds. It was only the amount that the court felt justified to confiscate from him.
Okay.
You know, it was the amount they were, 100% sure that came from gambling advertisement. Right. And if you look at closely to the case, it's really questionable, how much he really made. But as you mentioned, many streamers are making a lot more, and that might have been the case here as well.
Got it.
What else? There was the final, enforcement matter. It was during the spring. The NBB, they released a press release, warning Finns about illegal gambling, advertisements through SMS. And the NBB was basically stating that even minors have been targeted, and so forth, and this is really really dangerous, and so forth. A bit later, was it the following day or the day after, the national broadcasting company Yle, they actually made public the name of the MGA licensed operator who was behind this, and who the NBB suspected of illegal gambling advertisements. So. That raised some eyebrows, at least in Finland, and I guess the case was covered in few English language iGaming medias as well. So it's not only I guess it's not only the prohibition orders and the court cases that matter, but it's the NBB's press releases have some meaning, at least within Finland. The press releases are usually cited in all major media outlets. And in this case, the MGA licensed gambling operator who was behind the SMS campaign. I mean, some say all publicity is good, but I don't know if it's good publicity. No. Said that you target minors with SMS advertisements.
Yeah, it's really bad. And it's a strange one to do because I don't know what the rules are in Finland, but like I know from other people who do say SMS marketing in the UK that there's like the rules around like SMS spam are actually really strict. That if people start complaining, it can end up in really big fines, and it's so more strictly enforced compared to say email spam, that it can get really expensive. And when it's minors involved, if you can't prove, like if they can't prove to the Malta Gaming Authority, this is where we got the data, this is where they've opted in, this is how we know everyone's over 18. This is how we know it's appropriate. Like, regardless of the Finnish advertising laws, you still need to be able to prove to your local regulator that your, you know, your list is good and you can verify your list.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it can cause huge problems.
Yeah, from the NBB's press release, I got the impression that the MGA licensed operator has just randomly sent the SMS advertisements to Finnish phone numbers. I don't know if that's fact, but anyways, that appears to be if you read behind the lines and consider what the practices might be, you know, it might have been that they didn't even, you know, send the SMS advertisements to their existing customers or whatever. They just sent them to random Finnish phone numbers.
I know some friends who got it who definitely weren't customers. So yeah. They've either bought a list or just sent an SMS to everybody. Or you can just do every phone number between these two digits.
Yeah.
Just kind of go for it kind of thing.
Definitely. The case is still very much pending in the NBB, but it was rather interesting that they chose to, they have other cases pending as well. And it was rather interesting that they chose to make a press release from these specific cases. There might have been maybe other cases, at least, you know, similar with you know, something similar or even, you know, bigger cases and so forth, but they chose this particular case. So it's probably
a good way to A, get it stopped, and B, make sure nobody goes, oh, this is a good idea, we should do that as well. And just create, like, you could easily see this being an epidemic of spam gambling text messages.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe one reason behind this was also the fact that, you know, when someone sends SMS advertisements, it usually annoys people. Most of us have received those, regardless whether it's gambling related or something else. So it really irritates people. And when it comes to minors, you know, it's easy to...
It's dreadful.
Yeah. I mean, it's rather, I guess it was rather easy for the NBB to get the, you know, people on their side on this matter specifically,
yeah.
as there's been, you know, minors involved and all that. And so that might have been one case, or one reason behind why this case specifically was chosen to, you know, issue a press release. I don't know that fact. This is pure speculation, but yeah, could have been that.
Yeah. Makes sense. It would make sense.
But anyway, it's been, when it comes to enforcement front,
they've been busy.
Yeah, busy, and I would say there's been some, you know, entertaining characteristics in the case as mentioned. And
well, that's the thing, because they're all completely different, right? It's a full spectrum.
Yeah.
Of different, like, it's all kind of breaching, say, advertising rules and stuff, but just in completely different ways.
Yeah.
In so many different formats. It's so it really feels like then clamping down, like when you look at it individually, you can kind of, well, is this the most important thing to do or whatever, but when you start building it up as a portfolio of looking at the four or five cases in combination, it's like, okay, there's clearly a change in direction and priorities. It doesn't feel like it's going to stop.
Yeah, well, one thing is for sure that there's been more enforcement in the, let's say, in the past 6 months than in the previous 6 years or so.
Mm.
So there's definitely, you know, there's been a peak in the enforcement front.
Yeah.
Now, shall we move to the other topic, the licensing?
Let's do it. For sure. Let's go.
So I can't recall exactly what I spoke last time, but just for a brief overview, during last autumn, the discussion whether Finland should consider other models apart from the existing monopoly system, the discussion was started last autumn by the monopoly operator Veikkaus, whose CEO stated in the interim report that the current trend under which the Veikkaus market share is rapidly declining, if that cannot be halted, Finland should consider other options. And basically, during last autumn, the message was repeated by not only the Veikkaus representatives, but soon the politicians were on board, and the media's attitude started to shift quite fast as well. And by the time of the New Year's, it's fair to state that, you know, the major political parties were on board. They were basically understanding the necessity for change. It's Veikkaus had only roughly 50% of the online markets, and when it comes to actually competitive markets, including online casino games and online sports betting, Veikkaus market share is even much lower. It's been estimated to be on the area of 20 or 30%, depending.
Wow.
So you know, politicians, if they understand something, that's money. And if you look at the numbers, you know, it was recently estimated by the consumer authority that the Finns lose abroad each year, was it between 530 and 590 million euros or something like that, and that's increasing. Mm-hmm. And that's roughly one third of the whole Finnish gambling market. So it's you know it's rather easy to understand that, you know, when you get told by Veikkaus especially that, you know, the situation under the current legislation, it's not gonna get any easier for us. We really struggle competing with our foreign competitors, to whom the Finnish responsible gambling features and so on don't apply. And the Veikkaus situation was actually expected to become even worse because some of the latest legislative changes just enter into force. But anyway, if you understand that and you get the number 500 plus million per year, you know, going abroad, and it's not taxed, or, you know, there's no license leases included or something, it's rather easy equation. Something has to be done. And on January, a preliminary study group was formed to consider the options for the current status quo. And on April 17 this year, their findings were published. And basically, they present two alternative scenarios. Either Finland should follow in Norway's footsteps, so basically strengthen the monopoly even further.
Mm.
Or then we have to open part of the market, basically the online casino games and sports betting. And we are either route. Finland should seek for higher channelization rate and solve that problem. Now, if you look at the preliminary study, as I mentioned, they expressed that there's, you know, two alternatives, but they didn't really they didn't cover the first one, the Norway's model. They didn't discuss that basically at all. Mm. The whole preliminary report was about the shift to the partial licensing system and what characteristics should be included there and what the taxation rate should be and so forth. So it's rather clear for me personally that, you know, If there's a, you know, a study which includes two alternative options to choose from, and one of them is not even considered in the study, so which one the writers or the authors really prefer?
You're going down the line. It's option two. Yeah,
but that being said, you know, the authors of the study, they were really careful not to choose sides, not to make suggestions which model would be more preferable, but it's rather clear if you read through the paper, you know, which one they prefer. But anyway, that happened in the mid-April, or 17th April to be precise, and then Finland had parliamentary elections in the beginning of April, and this study, or preliminary study to be exact, it was actually meant for the upcoming government's use to make decision regarding this matter. And now the parliamentary negotiations, they've been ongoing for more than a month now, which is a long time in Finland. On average, they take some 30 days or something. And just before this broadcast, I checked from the local media that they are expecting that the governmental negotiations are over within this week, maybe even tomorrow, after which the government program will be published as well. And what's the meaning of the government's program? They will write something about gambling policy in the government's program as well, and it will pretty much determine the big lines, so to say. You know, I'm anticipating that they will include a note in the government's program stating that Finland will shift to a partial licensing system within the ongoing government's term. But there might be something more precise included in there. For example, I just heard that, you know, they might even, or that the biggest party, with the National Coalition Party, which is likely to, or they've been leading the government's negotiation and they will get the prime minister seats. But I've heard a rumor that they've been really pushing to actually include a specific date to the government's program when the change will take place. So that's going to be one milestone. After the government has been formed and the government's program has been published, obviously it's summertime and not that much happens in Finland during summertime. At least if you are state official, you just want to enjoy your long relaxing holiday and not to worry about, you know, too much about these matters. But once the summer holidays are over, the real work towards the licensing regime, that's expected to continue with full steam.
Was there any indications on when a cooling off period would kick in?
Cooling off period was suggested by the preliminary study group. But the details what it would be exactly like and when it would kick off and things like that, they haven't been touched upon yet. They haven't been decided.
Okay.
So
I think that's a really interesting one because Finland and Norway are kind of key markets for a lot of operators, particularly casino. Mm-hmm. And a cooling off period is going to have a big impact on particularly the listed companies' earnings, which has a knock. You know, obviously regulation is coming, which is great, but there's that period where there's no money being made in that market, and it'll be just interesting to see what gets decided there and how big it is, or like how many, is it months, years, etc.?
Well, it's definitely not going to be years. It's not going to be the same as the Dutch model.
Mm.
It's not going to be, you know, as strict as the Dutch model. But, you know, it's been suggested and it's been considered by some decision makers as a good viable options. I'm not saying I agree with them. But anyway, that's the case here. It's likely that there's gonna be another study conducted during the next autumn, and it will go more in depth in regarding of the details and so forth. And that's really something to look forward in this regard.
Yeah, fantastic. So lots happening then, and it's moving faster, and there seems to be like just that political motivation to go get it done is what it feels like, which is super important for these processes.
Yeah, it really helps that the political consensus was reached really fast when Veikkaus started to advocating on behalf of the shift. Veikkaus, they have a really great influence in Finland. They are just not, you know, any government or any state-owned company. I would argue that they are, if not, you know, the most influential company in Finland, but, you know, among the top three or so forth. So they really have the politicians' ears, and they've always been really listened in gambling related matters. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's their influence used to be even bigger. It's, you know, it's decreased somewhat, but it's still really notable. But I was really amused, or not amused, I was amazed by the fact how fast the politicians, you know, were abroad with the plans to change the system. I was expecting there to be some, you know, resistance in especially on the parties who are basically or who are ideologically supporting state monopolies.
Mm.
But even they acknowledged rather fast the need for the change, and you know, from that point on, when you reach political consensus on something, it's rather
painless. It's hard to stop it now. It's also like just you're not going to stop it now. If everybody's agreed on something, it's going to happen.
Yeah, there are obviously news. You know, it's not possible to find a, you know, full. I don't think there are too many topics in which there's a full agreement on. Yeah. Now there's been, for example, the Ministry of Social and Health Affairs. They've how would I put it? They've released a statement basically questioning the rationale behind the ongoing change, and they are really trying to, I don't know, form a road bump or, you know, be the handbrake of this change, but they've been questioning the rationale of the change, and there's been some other similar road bumps on the way as well. But apart from that, you know, if the main political parties and the politicians are on board, that's the biggest.
Yeah, that's the key. There'll always be people who question it and things like that. That's a given, and you'd expect that in a democracy.
Yeah.
But the fact you've got a politicians from all parties agreeing on something, it's unheard of. It's amazing. So that's super exciting. So there's going to be lots happening in Finland over the coming months and years.
Yeah, it's definitely not the same old as it used to be, you know, for quite some time. Now it's, you know, ball is rolling and things are happening. So it's an exciting time to be a iGaming lawyer.
Of course. And I believe you're running an event soon?
We are participating with Legal Gaming Attorneys at Law, the iGaming Next in Malta next week. I'm actually moderating there a panel regarding Finland, and there's participants from, for example, from Veikkaus and Finplay, and from affiliate markets as well. And that discussion is gonna be great during the iGaming Next. And Just the day before, on the 20th of June, so next Tuesday, we are actually organizing a side event. It's, you know, it's we don't have a formal affiliation with iGaming Next. It's just convenient for us to organize the event during the iGaming Next, as we are all there, and quite a few others are as well. But we will be speaking about the Finnish iGaming market on our event. So if any of the listeners are interested about the Finnish iGaming market, you should check the details from my LinkedIn account or brilliant.
We'll put a link in the notes for people to follow. Brilliant, Antti. Well, look, thanks for coming in. Thanks for the update and everything going on. And we'll enjoy the events next week, and we'll definitely have you back on as things move on in Finland.
Yeah, thank you very much, Finland, for having me.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on LinkedIn. Give us a big, juicy, succulent like. That nearly went wrong. You can find us under the name The Gambling Files Podcast. You can find us on Twitter under The Gambling Files. I think the handle is just @GamblingFiles. You can connect to myself, John Bruford, or Fintan Costello, also on LinkedIn. We're also both on Twitter. And you can find all of our previous episodes at www.thegamblingfiles.com. If you enjoyed it, please share, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you next time.